Welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves for Thursday, the 17th of February, 2022. My name is Eric Francis Compolino, host of Planet Waves FM, author of the Planet Waves Horoscope, and editor of PlanetWaves.net, here with a new edition of StarCast. This is the late week broadcast, posting it a little bit early on the eve of the release of the March monthly horoscope. We've got that back on its proper schedule of being released just as the sun enters the new sign. So it more pertains to the solar month of Pisces than specifically to the month of Mars. Astrology is always doing this juggling act between its various cycles and the civic calendar, which have very little to do with one another. Not nothing, but very little. As of this recording, the Leo full moon has passed by. That was about noon Eastern time on Wednesday. The moon has ingressed Virgo, so the moon is now in early Virgo. Thursday and Friday will still be in Virgo. And the sun is in the next to last degree of Aquarius. That makes the sun aneretic or void of course, depending on which era's terminology that you use. Void of course means that any celestial object or point is done making aspects in its current sign and will not make any new aspects till it enters the new sign. So it's kind of like this planetary intermission. Sometimes they're long, sometimes they're short. All depends on where the rest of the planets are. I've always found that sun voids are moments when interesting things can happen. Interesting things can slip in between. It's kind of like between the layers of consciousness or as if there's a little bit of a side entrance to things. And worth proceeding carefully with the sun void, of course. And also, I think that, counting on unusual things to happen and letting that be a positive for you. Let's go to the chart for the sun entering Pisces. That's Feb 18, Friday, at 11:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All times are Eastern Standard in this podcast. The sun joins several other points, many other points currently in Pisces. These include Jupiter, a centaur called Nessus, the third centaur, Neptune, Borysici, and one other one, I think, a reference to the Lord of the Rings. So there's all kinds of deity type of stuff happening in big god kind of stuff. Though Borysici is less of a big god and more of a literary reference to one of the primary deities in a book called Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut. I went back and reread Cat's Cradle in 2020, and it is absolutely marvelous novel. First of all, you could read. I'm not a fast reader, by the way. It can take me a month or two to read a book, but this one is fabulous because the chapters are like 500 words, and so it really moves along fast. And Vonnegut is almost writing in shorthand, this very descriptive prose. I'm sure it took him a lot of work to get it down to that few words. But this is a really remarkable novel about a substance called Ice Nine, which is this crystal ice that a little teeny speck of the stuff can crystallize the entire ocean, essentially, and freeze the planet. And this nuclear physicist brews the stuff up in his lab, and he leaves it to his children upon his death, and it is basically climate catastrophe waiting to happen. And one of the gods in the book, in a religion called Bokanonism, is Boris Cece. Boris Cece is in Pisces. I'll have more on that another time soon because the sun's in Pisces, and it's a really wonderful topic to talk about astrologically. And Boris Cece has proven out to be a planet that, it's a minor point out by Pluto, a little bit past Pluto, that represents all kinds of really intense stuff, you know. I only have a few minutes left to talk here. So, all right. So, meanwhile, Sun joins Jupiter, Nessus, Boris Cece, Neptune, all in Pisces. And this means there's going to be a series of conjunctions in Pisces. For example, Jupiter conjunct Nessus, Sun conjunct Jupiter, Sun conjunct Neptune, Jupiter conjunct Neptune. So when you have a lot of planets moving at different speeds very close together, that means there's going to be a lot of conjunctions all at once. And we have a similar situation going on in Capricorn, where much of the really interesting action is taking place. So the action now is focused between Capricorn and Pisces. These two signs are great friends. Ask any Pisces, they'll tell you they've got a bunch of Capricorn friends. Ask any Capricorn, they'll tell you they've got a bunch of Pisces friends. And whatever shortcomings these two signs may have don't really show up for each other when we're talking about Pisces and Capricorn, classic friendship signs. So what's going on in Capricorn? Well, what's going on in Capricorn is that has a lot of planets, including a collection of minor planets. For example, Pholus, the second centaur, Quaoar, very important, minor planet number 50,000. That was considered such an important discovery, they gave it the name 50,000, number 50,000. Between Quaoar and Pholus, we've got two points that describe ancestral lineage issues. Pholus goes back 3-4 generations, goes back to your great-grandparents. Quaoar goes all the way back to the beginning of the tribe. Quaoar is the origin story of the tribe. So I take that to mean if you're a Navajo, maybe the mythology is that the tribe comes from the Pleiades. If you're a Sicilian, maybe the mythology is that all the great-grandparents came across on a boat, and then they brought over the even older great-grandparents. Everyone settled in New York. Oh my God, they couldn't speak English. That's Quaoar. It's a creation myth. Pholus is not a creation myth. Pholus is the story of a centaur who, among other things, opens a cask of ancestral wine that he's been sitting on and entrusted to keep for many generations, and it's a collective property. So what Pholus does is releases collective property. So we've got quite a lot of that going on now, and that is a very active planet. Pholus was a very active planet at the beginning of the so-called pandemic. When there are things that are happening that go out of control, look for the influence of Pholus. Finally, in early Capricorn, there's a point called Ixion. Ixion is about amorality. Ixion was the first person to commit murder. He was a king of the Lapiths, I believe. And Ixion is the squanderer of second chances. So that's going on early in Capricorn. The real action, though, the more quick-moving, immediate action, involves a quadruple conjunction that is building between Venus, Mars, Vesta, and Pluto. Now, these are all points that have sexual connotations. Venus represents female-type desire and sexuality. Mars represents male desire and sexuality in their different styles. Vesta represents celibacy or chastity or service to others in some way, holding space for others. And Pluto generally represents everything that is dark and from the feminine side, and particularly in Capricorn. And in modern psychological astrological commentary, Pluto is the lord of death and regeneration. Pluto is the lord of the underworld from Roman mythology, connected to Hades in Greek mythology. These are not necessarily literal translations from the deity of mythology into the what I call the astrography of the planet in practice in astrology. So you'll see a lot of things can represent death in a chart. In reality, any planet can. Jupiter can. It takes you far, far away. So Pluto has a certain intimidating power and a lot of psychological force, but it also intensifies, it deepens, and it puts an evolutionary spin on whatever is going on. And it means that whatever makes contact with Pluto is going to go through some form of a transformation. It could be actual death. It could be a form of regeneration. It could be a transition of some kind. And it can represent a feeling that is very deep and that wants to be expressed in some way. And so one by one, these planets that are quite close to Pluto right now, Venus, Mars, and Vesta, are one by one going to make a series of conjunctions to Pluto. And this culminates March 2nd or 3rd in 2 weeks at the time of the Pisces new moon. And so right now that Pisces new moon chart, which, you know, the sun's not even in Pisces yet as of this recording, but that Pisces new moon chart is a very active chart at the moment because everything is leading there. We might not sense that it's leading there. If you're paying attention, you will. We might not. It may be just a little bit around the quantum bend. We might not quite know what to make of it or all that, but we're using astrology. We can see the future and that we can see the archetypes developing and forming before they do. Now, that does not mean we can be predictive, but we can talk about certain time periods having a particular quality. And so now there are no obstacles between, there are no major events between now and the Pisces new moon. Now, the Pisces new moon contains a great diversity of conjunctions that happen immediately within a 48-hour period, and they are all developing now. The most important two of those, in my opinion, are the Venus-Mars-Vesta-Pluto quad conjunction. We're in this very unusual moment of Venus and Mars moving in a long conjunction. The reason they can hold a conjunction that long is because Venus is still slow and powerful after coming out of retrograde on January 29th. Now, let's see now. It's now February, as of this recording, Feb 16th. So that was almost 3 weeks ago, right? But still, Venus is not out of shadow phase. It's inner planets always move slowly for quite a while after and before, after the retrograde. And so Venus is moving at about the same pace as Mars. Mars is much further from the sun. Venus is between the Earth and the sun. The Earth is between Mars and the sun. So there's a lot of distance between Venus and Mars in terms of the terrestrial planets in the inner solar system. But we've got this unusual situation of Venus and Mars moving in a long arc across the sky. This has been going on for weeks. It's been going on in a very close conjunction for more than a week. My friends down in Australia, where this thing is visible, though it may be visible in the early morning, worth taking a look at get high up and take a look at the eastern horizon about 2 hours or 2 hours or 90 minutes before sunrise, and you should be able to see this thing before the sun rises and blots it out. But it's beautiful in the southern hemisphere. Okay, so Venus and Mars are moving together, and this is a beautiful description of the male and female sexual archetypes moving together in Capricorn, in an earth sign, so that's grounded and earthy and wants to express itself in a tangible way. These are both heading for a conjunction with Vesta. Vesta is not really a desexualizing force, but Vesta puts space into the sexual equation. Vesta is the, it's kind of a mediator of sexuality. It can represent sex that's offered in service. It can also represent the abstention from sex, whether voluntary or not. People who have a prominent Vesta in their chart may find themselves in long phases of celibacy, and they also do something which is that they prepare their partners for the next partner. So there's some element of selfless service where Vesta is concerned. That selfless service often manifests in sexual relationships. So it serves as a force of sexual healing. The other thing about Vesta is that it can represent the unraveling of guilt and shame. I rarely see this interpretation. I read about it in an article maybe 25 years ago in the Mountain Astrologer. I'd been working with Vesta for a while. I thought that was just a brilliant analysis. And so we've got Venus and Mars making a conjunction to Vesta, and this is saying, let go of your shame around your sexuality. How do you know you have shame around your sexuality? Well, how freely do you talk about it with people? Do you actually describe your preferences, what you like, what you do, who you've done it with, what you really want? What can you say to your partner? What can you not say to your partner? What can you say to people that you consider your trusted friends? Very good questions. Now, these are all heading for a transformation from Pluto, one after the next, after the next. It's going to happen in a very short time. And so a number of different facets of sexuality are going to be infused with Plutonian power, with this depth and psychological gravitas, one at a time. And you have the image of Venus and Mars, who are basically getting it on in a long conjunction, streaking across the sky where anyone can see it if they care to look, who are about to meet Vesta, who's more about the holding that sexual charge and allowing sexual energy to be expressed not in a sublimated way, but in an indirect way, acknowledged, felt, experienced. And then the shame associated with sex, when everyone carries some guilt and shame burden, gradually, when things are working well, being unraveled. And then once these points, one by one, cross this kind of dimensional line of Pluto, each one is going to be revitalized, activated, infused with deep internal awareness and transformation. So let these transformations happen to you. There are other interpretations to this that go in directions different than the sexual, but it is hard to miss the sexual symbolism when you've got what are arguably the three sexiest planets, Venus, Mars, and Pluto, infused with the energy of Vesta. And while Vesta may not specifically represent abstinence or celibacy, it certainly represents the benefits of experiencing that for conscious periods of time, whether it's a week or a month or a year. I wouldn't suggest experimenting with longer than a year, but also the use of sexual consciousness and physical consciousness to allow your psyche to resolve the guilt and shame burden. Should probably talk about this at more length on Friday nights Planet Waves FM, because the process of using shame as a healing tool is so essential to the sexual healing process. It's not about avoiding or sweeping it under the rug or somehow forgiving something. There's a necessity to go through these physical layers and express all of the very profound feelings and other sentiments that are involved. All right, so I prepared an extended horoscope. These are now. I'm working in long format now. I'm not working in short format horoscopes at the moment. So the horoscopes now are around 350, 375 word essays for each of the 12 signs. Those are starting to go up on the website tonight. I'm recording on and publishing this on Wednesday. So over the next 24 hours, they will go up. They'll be ready by about 7 o'clock on Thursday. There's also going to be an essay called Pisces and the Abyss, which is an analysis of the qualities of Pisces. I'm focusing in that essay much more on Pisces than I have focused in this discussion, that we have some time to bring this into focus on StarCast podcast. And I look closely at the, for example, the magnification power of Jupiter conjunct Nessus. There is so much to talk about. There is so much happening right now. But I wanted to keep this edition personal. and encourage you to pull your awareness and your energy into yourself and really feel what it is that you are feeling. And if you are noticing that guilt, shame, and embarrassment are coming up for healing and for processing, please go with that. It's not healthy to repress these feelings, whether based on doubt or anything else. But let yourself have the experience of actually moving through your emotions and letting your emotions move through you. And should you find anything that you detect is embarrassing, there is your tantric breadcrumb trail. That is the thing to follow. That is the thing to pay attention to. The embarrassment leads to profound beauty. It is the sheen placed on the surface of things that acts as a kind of repellent or deterrent. But if you are on the tantric path, you know that it is an invitation to experience yourself in a deep and unusual way that is focused on healing and release from the shame that may bind you. Okay, that's what I have to say for tonight. Signing off at 6:44 p.m. If you're on the Planet Waves list, look for an email with the horoscope. If you want to get on the Planet Waves list, write to us, please, at cs@planetwaves.net, and we will add you. The Pisces birthday reading has gone on pre-sale. I will have that early next week. And that's all I've got to say to you. I'll be back in long format on planetwaves.fm, which airs by 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Thanks for listening. Lots of love, and stay in touch.